is going. Ladies and gentlemen, you might notice some background music. That's the Interrupters. Don't mind them. That's bonus content. Anyway, we are here in Philadelphia at the Festival Pier for the 2018 edition of the Punk and Drublic Festival. That includes the Mad Caddies, our old buddies the Interrupters, Bad Religion, and NoFX. But this whole thing couldn't have gotten started without my guests today. They're a part of the next generation of Fat Records bands, The Last Gang. Brenna, Robert, and Sean, welcome.
Hello, how's it going?
Hi, how's it going?
Hello, hello.
That's everyone. All right. Now, I know there have been different eras of the band, and you've probably come by in other projects, but is this the first time this version of The Last Gang has come to Philly?
Oh, yeah. First time, I think, any of us as human beings in general have ever been here.
We're hoping to drive past Patty's Pub on the way here.
I know, but I still want to.
I'm from Allentown, so I'm not really that tied in with any of that, so. So how have the previous dates been? Remember any of them?
There's bits and pieces that have been missing, but
there's some missing scenes, bro.
All we remember for the most part is hot. Yeah. Just fucking hot.
It was brutal yesterday in Richmond, 96, and like nasty humidity. Yeah. And Fort Worth wasn't much better, super dry and hot.
I wanted to die on stage. I wanted to just like in the middle of the chaos and like fun and people singing, I just want to sit down and go, give me a minute. Okay, I'll be back. Give me just 5 minutes, please. It was hard.
Now, for context, it's like 50 degrees and really rainy. And
it was wonderful here. Oh, and the river right there, with those giant boats going through. Like, it's goddamn magical right here.
I was afraid I was going to have to introduce the concept of rain to you guys being Southern California and all that, but...
Right. No, actually, we that's the only weather we do get, is heavy rain. That's it. But
once in a while. Once in a while.
Yeah. That's it.
None of our snowstorms and none of that other stuff. So.
Although I did drive through a blizzard. We went to driving up to Oregon through some
Shasta Pass.
It was a full-on blizzard, and I was having a mild panic attack.
We did it. Three of us.
Yeah, I was going 25 miles an hour on the freeway. I don't give a shit. Go around me.
We're gonna get to your driving. Don't worry.
No besides so far. Don't.
All right, but is this the ideal situation, playing early, hang out the rest of the day as much as you can, and catch the rest of the bands?
Right now, I'd say yeah, because, you know, the people that come out early, we either get, you know, these new fans, or we have fans that are coming out to see us. I mean, the first band, I mean, let's be honest.
You have to really want to see them to go this early.
Yeah. They didn't come to see us, but, you know, we turned some heads and you know, made some new fans, and it's really fun getting to go out and talk to the people.
There's a couple people from New York that said that we came all the way down from New York for you guys. I was like, not even NoFX. I was like, I came on this because NoFX. Yeah, not even playing.
Yeah, I think for us right now, I mean, this is an ideal slot for us. I mean,
it is really perfect.
It is, yeah.
We get to take advantage of the same scenario, and when we go back home, we're gonna do another tour starting June 22nd with Street Dogs, and two of those dates are with fucking Fear. So we're gonna be the first band, work, play your show, be awesome, think of your night, and then you hop off the stage and be like fan boys and girls of like,
awesome.
What do they want to do for? Let's do some shit and drive around and be crazy in the pit.
It's cool with that tour too. It's such a small community because our friends in Left Alone, like we've played with them in the past. Elvis is awesome.
Wait, he put us on the Rancid compilation.
Yeah, he was the reason why we were able to be on that Rancid comp. And you know, lo and behold, like we've played shows with them before, but we never toured with them. And now we're gonna be touring with them. So it's fucking awesome. It's like you play, you get to see your friends play, you get to see the Street Dogs, and you get to see fucking Fear. You know what I mean?
I
so it's super
scene.
Cool. Yeah.
It's so much fun. I just love. I'm so fucking happy just to be a punk, to be in the scene of. This is our jobs, dude. We play music, hang out. I get to see bands for free now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
We're still on the cusp of DIY, so we drove out here. I think everyone else flew, or they're on tour buses and stuff. So, our tour bus is a 9-seater.
Thank you for the Econo Lines.
And yesterday, what was it? No, Friday night, our buddy Kenny and Brenna went out to the van, and five people in a van for 22 hours from Kansas to Richmond, Virginia.
It stinks.
It was bad. You could chew on the air.
I love your guys' stink. Yeah. Thank you, guys. If I had to be surrounded by any stink, I want it to be you guys.
We are learning a lot. All right, let's go with it. Okay, but we're really here to talk about Keep Them Counting, in stores now, on Fat Records. Now, you've described the whole process of getting a call from Aaron at Fat, signing you without seeing you play, and only hearing some songs, like being out of a Hollywood movie. Who would play you?
Oh, I love this question. I didn't see that happening. Okay, get back to me.
Oh, shit.
Andy Sandberg. People say I look like him for some reason.
Fuck. I don't know, man. Who would play me? That's a good question, man. When you can stump someone like this.
Who's that actor? I'm really terrible with names. Who's that actor in it was Step Brothers, the asshole brother with the smile? No, well, just his face looks like me.
And he was also he had that short spot on Eastbound and Down.
And Parks and Recreation. Yeah, Adam Scott. Adam Scott. He's the male counterpart. He looks exactly like me.
Well, I want to be cool, so I guess I'd be.
No, my guy's not cool. He's really nerdy.
I'd be Daryl in Step Brothers, the one that actually drums. So it'd be Daryl. She'd be him, yeah. And Andy Sandberg. It'd be a comedy, is what we're saying. If there's a movie about us,
he'd be super just dry, dramatic.
We're not that funny, so it's. Having comedians.
Okay, you're
play.
Not.
Actually,
funny.
No. I would say
I'm hilarious.
If we're going looks, I would go Uma Thurman. I got really bug eyes, and I got like
but
the.
But she would
the,
just be a serious version of you.
I know.
And she's really lanky, and I hear she has huge.
I know,
feet.
And in my head, I'm like 5'8".
In reality, Fred Savage would play.
Fred Savage. Fred
Savage. Wonder Years.
Yep.
Now, Robert, how did you manage to befriend Cameron Webb and get into that studio?
Dude, it's awesome. Again, it's such a small world. When I was in high school, I was listening to a band called Ignite. That's from Orange County. The album Darkest Days came out, and I listened to it. I was like, man, this sounds cool. Looked, Cameron Webb was on it, and lo and behold, I was listening to it in English class, had the CD on my desk, and my English teacher came up, and he's like, my friend's little brother recorded that. I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. Fast forward, fuck, what is it now, 15 years later, whatever. No, more, whatever. He walked into the guitar center I used to work at, and our stage manager, Ken, he worked with him at NRG Studios. So when he walked in, he's like, oh, hey, Ken. And then I was like, hey, you're Cameron Webb. You know, my friend or my high school teacher knows you. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, I'd love to come and geek out at your studio one day. He's like, dude, come down. Like, pretty much like, you know Ken and you know Spangler. Like, come on down. And just like out of a whim, I was like, what have I got to lose? I'm like, you want to hear my band's demo? Yeah. And like, we played him like the demo stuff, and he turns to me and goes, man, do you guys have a manager? Like, would you like, and he just was awesome.
But in all fairness, we all are hustlers, but you're a hustler. It's not just like one guy like, hey, do you want to hear my demo? Like, we've, mainly, Robert
does
he's the hustler. He slings like, before we got signed, it was like, hey, do you want to hear our demo? Hey, do you want to hear our demo? Hey, random person on the corner, do you want to, like, he works.
He was even trying to get me to go to, like, schools and, like, flyer and hand out our music.
It wasn't just random luck. It was total just hustle, man. Hustle and flow.
And, you know, there were some ups and downs, you know. Recording with Cameron was an up, and then waiting a year for someone to finally pick it up was a real tough thing.
But we got so low, and then when it got signed, it was so high. It was big dramatic up. It was worth it.
And Our Darkest Days is my favorite Ignite album,
yeah,
I have to say.
That and like the album that has Embrace on it, I think, is probably like...
I don't know if that has Run on it too. I'm trying to think which album has Embrace on it, but anyway.
Yeah, it's one of the older ones for sure.
All right. Since you had Phil Campbell solo, does this mean you guys are in Motorhead, kind of?
I think it means...
Yes.
We were actually able to use, or well, Brenna was able to use some of Lemmy's amps on the record too.
No, that was Sean.
No, yeah, they,
oh, it was Sean?
Because it was the Marshall that we ran his
not
bass
Marshall,
through.
But the one with the crest on it. So it's not the awesome Lemmy amp. It's his second awesome
but
Lemmy
it,
amp.
I think it was.
I don't
Marshall.
Know. He was running me through all kinds of stuff. I was just like, just make it sound cool. I don't
we're
know.
Super nerdy kind of gear
except
people.
For me.
Yeah, no, he secretly are. But yeah, me and Robert are super nerds with gear, and so Cameron's studio was just like awe-inspiring. Of like. You have Lemmy's this. You've got this, like, Space Echo thing from the 50s that was, like, an Army naval base. Like, it's crazy. We were spoiled there. It was really
was a good
magical.
Couple weeks. It was fun recording with him and learning a lot. You know? Yeah.
And it was really special, too. My memory from that I really took away was hearing that Motorhead song of David Bowie Heroes.
Oh,
I teared up.
Beautiful.
Like, it was before it came out. Cameron recorded it. Obviously, he did the later albums. And it was very haunting for me. Like, I teared up. Like, no one's like barely anybody's ever heard this voice sing like this, these two dead superstars' souls. Like, oh God,
within a month or less. So. Mm.
It was real, man. It was really real.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool experience.
There's a lot of good karma in that, on the record. That's what AJ from the Chromex told me. He's like, dude, you're using Lemmy's amp. You got Phil Campbell on there.
We still never bought him tacos, good. Though. Yeah, he might come back and ask
AJ
for tacos.
From, we did a 5-show run with the Chromags last year, I think it was. This was between, like, I call it like a purgatory period where we were just like hoping somebody would pick up this record. And like, we got this tour because of this guy.
Again, hustle.
He used to do what he's.
I used to stage manage them on the West Coast. And then I started doing merch for them first, and then they kind of bumped me up like every tour. And then I called in a favor, pretty much. I was like, "Hey, like, do you want to do it?" And they were like, "Yeah, dude, like, go ahead, like, yeah, let's, you know, we'll have you guys open." And then when we played, AJ, who used to be in Leeway and plays in Chromax, he goes, "Man, he's like, there's never a band lately that I've been wanting to come and see." And he would show up early to the show. I mean, they're the headlining band; they can show up fucking 10 minutes before they play. And he would show up early to like catch the set every time, and he was like bummed when we weren't like gonna continue the tour with him. So.
Yeah, he's a rad dude.
I feel like that was the start of this upward journey of. Yeah. It didn't even start with like signing to Fat. It started, I think, with that tour.
Yeah, and then a few months really later, did start we got with that tour. To Fat. That was in March of 2017, and then July was when Aaron called us. So.
Yeah.
Since you were able to record in Maple Sound Studios in Orange County, does this mean you were able to sleep in your own beds at night?
Oh, yes. It was magical. I live about not even 10 minutes from the studio. So, although the last day, Strange Fruit, when we recorded Strange Fruit, we wrote it the day before, and we recorded the next day. Like, it was total, just fly by the seat of our pants, because I didn't have lyrics to half the stuff, or, like, part of the bass lines weren't finished, and... You know, drum fills are like, let's figure it out on the fly. We were in the studio from like, 10 a.m. to, I was there till like 11:30.
And that was a year after the record came out that we went back in for that, because Fat Records needed a B-side. And
it became a B-side.
It became, was supposed to be a B-side.
It was supposed to be a B-side.
The fourth song on the record, one of our favorites. So
yeah.
We were really, really happy with that, how that came out. But
yeah, I gotta drive home 10 minutes. it was fucking great.
I had to wake up at 4:30 every morning, go into work for a few hours, and then go record all day, and then go back to work to load trucks. So it was a busy. Well, I got all my bass tracking done within the week, so it was busy.
But thank goodness it was close to home.
I'd heard somewhere that you had written about 80 demos and narrowed it down to maybe 15 or 20. Since the album has 10 tracks, and I know there's one or two B-sides, are the other 5 to 10 solid ideas going to see the light of day?
Maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it's like our writing process is, sometimes there's ones that just aren't the cut, and we don't put the final finishing touches on it. Like, what a lot of people might not know... especially like starting off DIY bands, or just, you know, garage bands, is producers aren't a bad thing. It's not a sellout thing. It's not like, oh my God, a producer's gonna change who we are. They're musicians. They see this idea that you maybe don't see, and they add this extra bit of who you are. They don't change you. Good ones don't change you. They add a bit, and we didn't do that with any of the extra songs. We didn't go that extra step. So maybe we will, maybe we won't. We have hashed. You have that one little, you know, you have something. We're going to noodle on some stuff. We'll see.
Yeah. And then the song that didn't make the record that was in the demos is the second song we played today, which is called I'm the Disease. I think there's a real rough copy of
it. Yeah,
on
we
Spotify.
Do keep, we did keep that as a demo version so people can, because we really, it's a great song to play live and like get the crowd going.
It's on Spotify.
In fact,
when we recorded Strange Fruit, for 5 hours we were working on that damn song, and then finally Cameron's just like, fuck it, you guys don't want to do it, do something else, what else you got? And then we're just like, we're working on this last night, and he was like, I fucking love it.
He's like, why didn't you play that from the beginning 5 hours ago?
It's awesome, like going back to what Brenna said about the producer, they just add, or they're able to, you have a vision for a song, and what a producer does is they make that vision come true. We've recorded so much stuff DIY, and it's like quality or just like feeling wise, it's always at like an 8 or a 7. You never max it out. And then a producer comes in and goes, this is what you meant. And it's like, yes. Because
yeah. good producers will take you to that final
exactly.
step.
Like with something. Strange Fruit. I didn't like the song when we started jamming on it. And then, so that's why we were going to do I Am the Disease. And then all of a sudden Cameron comes in and he's like, why don't you... like think of something else that you want to put to drums, and all of a sudden it's like boom, and I was like, holy fuck, actually I like this song, I love this song, it's one of my favorite ones
it's
to play.
It's my favorite one, I think,
yeah,
right now,
so
on the record.
It's like it's that's what they do, you know what I mean, like you hit a wall a lot when you're a musician, and that's what they do, they fucking tear that
it's
shit down.
It's almost like having a fourth member in the band.
It really
exactly
is.
He is the fourth member,
so it was
we have a lot of fourth members.
You're a fourth member now. Fuck it. And everybody's in the band. Be part of the gang. Yeah. Blood in, blood out.
Gang. Oh.
You can't leave. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's just a matter of outside perspective, so I could see the value in that, absolutely, too. Now, since there are two drummers in the band in a lot of ways, do you guys try to stay in each other? Well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And we drummed for the same band at different
times,
which is really
weird. We did
drum
for the same band. The same, that was weird. Oh, no, Robert's way. Light years better than I am. I see rhythm. I see the mathematical. Although I will say it helps me when we're jamming and I hear a part for you.
Yeah.
I can see what you should do. I can't do it, but I see what I want you to try and put your spin on it. So maybe that does help, actually.
No, it does. It's that's how it is with everything. Like it's we all have an input of. We all have somewhat of an input, you know. Sean will play a bass line, and let's say the like all four bars aren't that great, but I'm like, dude, that little part you did right there, like work off that, and he'll do it. And the same with, you know, like what Brenna said, Sean will be like, dude, why don't you do this? Like we're all like mini producers, you know. What
I will
mean?
Say though, you didn't play in heels and a skirt. I got you on that, bitch.
That's true. I wore heels today. You just didn't see him.
Okay.
I took him off real quick. I bought
you gotta
him
feel
a fat
pretty.
Mic.
You gotta feel pretty. Yeah.
No judgment. Whatever it takes.
Yeah,
all right. So the record was actually done in July of 2016. So it's not really that new of a record to you. New to everyone else. Are you going crazy in terms of coming up with all these other ideas that you want to pursue or other approaches?
We've been so busy that we've just
yeah.
been like pushing the record.
It's actually pretty cool.
We just started thinking about, you know, starting to get back to writing. So
it was cool that it was an item that wasn't necessarily like, let's record and then let's push it and try. We got to enjoy the process of really diving into the record, working on rehearsals, like developing a good tight set, and then going with it. It's actually, I think it was beneficial that we didn't just record and push it out. We had time to massage the idea of how we wanted the world to embrace it and look at it. So it was actually pretty cool. The next one's gonna be like, let's go.
Yeah, it's.
Who knows? Well,
I don't know. It's exciting that we don't know where the record's gonna go.
No.
We don't.
I'm living for today, man. I'm living for today.
Yeah.
Well, actually, on your website, let's see. TheLastGang.com, right? Yeah, but cool. You have a whole page devoted to free music. Is that your way of kind of clearing out the past and being like, here's stuff for you, but we're onto something else now?
A little bit of that, yeah. Because I never, you know, when we got signed, one of the big things that stuck in our brains, or at least my brain, probably yours too, is like, shit, how do we look like a band that didn't just like fail and has been around for a while and they've peaked and this is like the biggest that they'll get, and you know, but you don't want to lie. You're not going to try to be like, oh no, that never happened. Like, you have to embrace who you are. Like getting shitty tattoos, that's a memory. You can't erase a memory, so embrace it. We wrote songs. They were a different time of our lives. It made us who we are as a band, and it actually, a lot of local fans who have supported us these whole years really love those songs. And I also think this day and age, music, I don't know if it should be free, but it is. So download it, share it, build the scene, build music, keep passion going. So fuck it. Make it free.
There's like a double-edged sword. It's like, because you want to see people singing your songs at the shows, what better way to give them the free music?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's I don't know, the other side of it is the fact that, you know, it destroys the music industry at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I think vinyls have, and merch, like actual tangible shirts and CDs, but vinyl records are never went away because of that fact. People still want to buy it. They want the poster, they want the lyrics, they want that whole thing. So I think in conjunction with that, I maybe foresee that's the future of most music being free, if not cheap, downloadable, to listen and to get fans to an obsession point of knowing every lyric. Like, when you don't remember you were younger, you listened to the same song just to learn the lyrics so you can go to the shows and sing along. But when you went to the shows, I still bought, you know, the cassette tapes from the little band at the bowling alleys and their T-shirts. That was special.
Okay. Now you also have, due to Cameron's contributions there, you have a connection to the new Pennywise. Background vocals, your drum set.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So you guys are kind of in Pennywise now.
No, so we're in Motorhead, we're in Pennywise.
And Pennywise was actually in the last gang because it started with Sean using Randy's 78 bass, 1978.
Yeah, I got to use his 78 P bass. Two different basses.
Two of his different basses.
Does he know that?
He does. Yeah, okay. I told him at Rebellion Festival last summer.
And then, Brenna did some backing vocals on it, and Cameron, when we recorded our record, Cameron was like, I love this drum kit, can I keep it here?
And also you're like, I don't want to take that home, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I live in a fucking one-bedroom apartment, man. Like, I can't take that home anyway, so sure. So yeah, it's been on that, and you know, it's cool that, you know, Brenna was able to go in and do some woes because it, you know, her harmonies are what makes a lot of her song writing and lyric writing like her, you know. So Cameron does that a lot. He'll pick people from other bands to come in and do harmonies for certain records. So that was cool learning that she was on there, and then of course learning the kit. But I mean, like, the vocals is what drives the band, you know. So kind of cool.
Speaking of long-running bands, from what I understand, Brenna, the first song you mastered playing guitar and singing was The Misfits' Some Kind of Hate.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm one of those interviewers. Ever play any shows with any of The Misfits?
Actually, yeah. We, not the last gang, right? Was it? I have terrible memories.
We do not speak their names.
No, it's actually... One of the members from that band, he's my family. But yeah, when we went on the hiatus, I did another project, and that band was fortunate enough to play with the Misfits at the Observatory in Santa Ana. And yeah, it was just fucking, it was crazy and epic. And again, one of those like moments of like, I'm playing with the Misfits. But nothing compares to this tour. I mean, it's light years of... Everybody says it, but this is literally like a fucking dream. It's a dream. Like, I don't think this is real. Like, I'm sitting in the back of the Yamaha complex behind my parents' house, sitting there like losing my mind of insanity. Like, this isn't real. Like, this is not happening. But it's a good delusion. It is.
Okay. Now, of course, everyone knows, because everyone loves you guys. The Last Gang came from the Clash song from Given Enough Rope. Every so often, some friends and I gather together for something called Record Club, and I chose that album to play at one of those. I think it's super underrated.
There's a lot of conversation about that. That's all Brenna, though. She's
well, sure.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean... What, Sean, too? Oh, you're in a Clash obsession.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, Joe Strummer tattooed on my back.
I got him on my arm.
I have him on my shirt.
Well, you also have an Ugly Trio tattoo. I don't. Oh, we gotta catch up. Yeah. You know that album is. I think we nailed it. I've always wanted to do an album like that, and Out Come the Wolves. Where Out Come the Wolves is very quintessential, that sound, the tones. It was different, but it was relevant. It was new, but it was reminiscent. And I wanted to make that kind of album. And then the other aspect is, I've always wanted to make an album like Give Them Enough Rope, where you go from the first song, and then again it was like 10 songs to the last song, and then on your CD player it would reverse, go back to the beginning. And I remember listening to the album like 3 times over and realizing like, oh, It switched, and I didn't realize that. And I've always wanted to make that loop album, and I think we did that with this, with like ending Secret Sounds and then like restarting it back to track one. I think you can listen to it a couple times without realizing it.
I listened to it so much I can't listen to it anymore. I'm kidding, of course.
No, we're not.
Sing for Your Supper, it's just like, oh.
Oh my God.
If I have to hear that bass line one more fucking time.
No, but then playing it live and seeing like eyes light up, you fall in love with the song all over.
Yeah,
again.
You fall in love with it through other people's passion and energy.
Yeah. It's the beauty of music. It's mysterious. you know, but it gets you.
But I think Fat Records picked a good one to be our single, so.
Yeah.
It's all about being objective and, you know, hearing something that they haven't heard a million times and are sick of riffs or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. It's just nice to see it through their eyes.
Now, actually, related to Give Him Enough Rope, though, you could have had some other possible names that I don't think are as good as The Last Gang, but Julian the Drug Squad. That you'd have to change your name, though, but...
I actually thought of that one, too.
Nice. The Cheapskates. That's probably been used, though.
Also from the song The Last Gang in Town, I was playing on...
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah, why did he want... the Quiffs, the Spikes, the Quaps... the Spikes, yeah, it's that whole, like, I'm listing all the band, all the names of the gangs, and then I realized, like, oh, shit, it's just The Last Gang. Mm-hmm. And also, this was way before Last Gang was, like, a band. It was just an idea, and I was jamming with some friends while still playing drums for that band. It was called the C'MONS, because come on, come on, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it was called the Come Ons, and I realized I can't be the Come On, so I changed it. I was like 16, it wasn't real.
You made a good choice.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about the driving before. How can we keep you guys safe? I heard you get distracted on your phone a lot, Brenna.
Who's been talking to you? What are you guys sending him text messages? You and Billy?
Dude, on the way to San Diego when we were with the Cro-Mags, on the way to Soda Bar, I swear to God, I was fucking terrified for my life. And I didn't speak up. I should have. Brenna was like this.
Looking at her phone.
I was reading quotes about Simpsons episodes, and I needed to know what it was.
Allegedly, she was looking at her phone and driving, guys. Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, that's illegal. Sorry. I don't do that, yeah, but I told
allegedly.
Well, and also, allegedly, people were smoking pot in the car,
that's
and I
legal,
accidentally
though.
Got...
Oh, wait, not in the car.
I don't smoke pot because it affects me way too hard. So the littlest, like, puff in my face, I'll be like, I'm wasted. So they're smoking in the car, and a little... smoke got into my nostrils, and all of a sudden I'm like, the sunset's really beautiful. Ah, fuck, dude. So if it's anybody's fault, it's your fault. But hey, we haven't died. We haven't gotten in any car accidents. I think I deserve points for that.
I always tell you, you're Mad Marge.
Yeah, I am large Marge. Whatever. But Robert, lately, Robert has really stepped up. When I can't drive, I'm just too tired. He takes the wheel, and I don't feel... unsafe at all.
Good. Now, you guys divide responsibilities, of course. Now, Robert was the one who was dealing with me, and I'm sure all the other annoying radio people who want interviews and label stuff and driving, of course. How do you guys divide the responsibilities?
It just kind of came naturally. We know what we're all, like, really good at, and I feel like we just were like, okay, this
you're
is...
You're the hustler.
Really...
You talk to people.
Yeah, and... Sean's able to, you know, make sure all the merch is organized and, you know, inventory with, like, you know, people ordering stuff, so he takes care of that. Me and Brenna kind of divide some of the emails up. You know, it's a little bit easier for me to do it just because I'm able to be on my phone a lot more at work. So I just kind of took it over, and I don't know.
I do a lot of the boring stuff because I'm really, I like numbers and, like, tunnel visioning in on boring stuff. Like, I love HTML. I love doing code. I used to make websites when I was like a teenager just for fun. And we all run the website. Everybody has access, but I'm the one that mainly updates it. I make sure like the dates are correct. I respond to emails that are in there. Like, I forward them like, hey, Robert, you do this one because they ask this question that you would know. I got this one. Hey, Sean, this is a shipping question for merch. I try to organize the money the best I can, what little we can get.
She's the accountant.
I'm the accountant, yeah. So, accountant, logistics, branch manager.
And do you specifically do the social media, or?
We all usually do. We kind of split that responsibility because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun posting stuff on the road. So we, not like one person's mainly in charge of it. It's whatever.
We'll come up with an idea, and then, like, it'll be like, for instance, like, Brenna will tell me, hey, like, what do you think about posting this? Or I'll be like, hey, Brenna, like, post this. Like, you word it better. It's just, it's, you
and
know.
And Ken, too, our stage manager, he, sitting down, he helps
Say
a lot
hi.
With, Actually, he loves social media, so we kind of like let him. He's on his phone right now. You're looking at sports games. What you doing there, buddy?
Porn.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been awesome taking over. A lot of the reposting and that kind of stuff is just like all of us work, and it's been awesome having him come onto the team and like just kind of organize some stuff that, you know, tie up some loose ends me and Brenna don't see, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we all catch each other when stuff falls through the cracks. And stuff sometimes does, but most fans are normal about it. They're not upset if an order doesn't go out right on time. I think they understand we're still, even though we're like, I joke, but like, oh my God, like so famous and like we're on Fat Records, but we still do it ourselves and they appreciate that and they don't get upset when it's not like super professional because we're just some fucking punks from Orange County playing music across the country.
We made it this far, so yeah. That's cool.
And the van didn't die.
That's true.
Yes.
We're in the home stretch here, so I know you've got a time crunch. Brenda, you've got two dogs, Lucy and Maggie, named after Maggie from The Simpsons and I Love Lucy, or what? I'm just guessing there.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, actually, that I like your answer way better than mine. Oh. No, they both have a heterochromia. I got them at different times, so the first one, Lucy, just bright blue eye, and I thought the Lucy in the sky with the diamond eye. So I was like, Lucy. And then the other one, she's just fucking dumb. So I just Maggie sounded like the like silliest. Yeah, Maggie from The Simpsons. Sure. And I wanted to name her Kevin, but I couldn't call her Kevin. We settled on Maggie. But yeah, and then his animal is actually way cooler than mine, his name's.
I've got two felines. Their names are Stevesy and Bowie.
Oh, okay.
I'm a really big David Bowie fan, and they were born like just a couple weeks after his death. So I was like, yeah, I'll name them her Bowie and him Stevesy. And Stevesy, I just think is a funny name. So
I thought you named him because of Steve Bader's or something.
No.
Oh,
no. I just think it's funny.
You like naming animals after human
and,
names.
Well, I like that movie Life Aquatic, and there's that that scene where he's. He's like, you never even let me call you dad. He's like, I said you could call me Stevesy. So.
Now, Brenna, with your love of Star Trek, have you caught up on Discovery?
Yes. Well, I'm only on like episode like 4 or 5. No, I think like 6 or 7 right now. It's at the point where the Klingons, I forgot, one of their leaders has died and they're launching an attack. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm super nerd. They're probably embarrassed me, but yeah, I'm catching up on it. Yeah.
Good so far?
It's different, but I'm such a fan that I'll believe in the timeline of it. I'll believe in the poet. I'll believe in the timeline of it and the, God, I can't think of the word where everything is. Whatever. It's a word. It's out there. But yeah, no, I do like it. And then we're also meet Ken as well as Star Wars nerds and Marvel nerds. We're just a bunch of nerds.
In one way or another, right?
No, you actually, you and Robert are way cooler than I am.
I'm not cool. I play drums, dude. Alpha dummy who fell for that trick. No.
All right, being the OCOGs that you are you neighbors with some of Bad Cop, Bad Cops, like Jenny and Lynn? I think they're in Orange County.
Yeah, they're in Huntington.
Gotcha.
They're close, yeah.
Constantly visiting, hanging out, borrowing cups of sugar?
Yes. No, although, yeah, well, Jenny, doesn't she works at a bakery, right?
Jenny works at a bakery.
Yeah, so I would love to.
I think
Bee
Candies.
Yeah. I haven't had any of the pastries from there yet. She brought one to a show once. No, I have had one. We saw them play it Out of the Park Pizza.
Sure, yeah.
And she's just this, like, wonderful unicorn of a human being. And she just brought, like, confectionaries for everybody. And she shared it with, before we were, like, ever, like, signed. And we were just friends of friends. And they kind of maybe knew us as humans. But she was really nice and was like, would you like a cupcake? And I was so thankful.
Stacy's an amazing human, too. She was at our show in L.A. We opened up for the Lillingtons.
Myra was there, too.
And yeah, Myra, too.
But, yeah, if I would have known that she was there watching, I would have been so nervous. But
we get a little
saw her
fan
after.
Girl with them.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan, but she's really, really sweet girl.
So one day we'll work up the courage to borrow sugar
from
them.
Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got hops on the her stage presence is red.
Yeah, Sean's trying to up his game.
Yeah, he's going to do the split soon.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're stretching.
That way. That's what you saw today.
We gotta try.
Yeah, interviewing them about a year and a half ago was a highlight. It was like an hour and 10 minutes, all four of them. So that was cool. And I saw them at Warped Tour last year. So, yeah.
Amazing band.
Now, there's always things to do in Orange County, but are you still sneaking into Disneyland and hustling 30 friends in with a hand stamp?
No, they put the kibosh on that. They figured out how to get around it. Yeah, I mean, you know, good for them. They caught on to our tricks. But, no, I still go to Disneyland. I've got an annual pass, and what's better than having, like, a really shitty day at work or just a shitty day in general and, like, going on a roller coaster and just screaming your brains out and acting like a kid, like... just letting it go. And also, I mean, I don't know if you want to share, but Robert goes too with Olivia.
Yeah, I go with. It's easy having a pass now because they have the monthly payment plans or whatever. Yeah, the monthly payment plan. So it's super awesome. My wife and I, we take my daughter. She takes her more than I can because she, I'm a lot more busy, you know. But when I can, like, we're always going, you know. I don't know. When you live in Orange County, it's kind of like a mandatory thing to have an annual pass.
So I know it's, you know, for the most part, it's giant capitalism. It's an evil-ish corporation. They, you know, greed. But what I kind of love about it is there's stuff that doesn't cost money. There's no rides for it. And, you know, Walt's vision of just sharing magic and inspiration with people, like Fantasmic. It's not something you pay for. It's just a show they put on to, like, inspire imagination is... It's really beautiful if you accept it for what it is and not think about the corporate greed.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I haven't been in over a decade.
We'll take you, Sean.
Expect to be going anytime soon. So. I hear it's changed a lot, though.
Oh, yeah.
I've never even been to California Adventure. So.
Well, they took out the Swiss Family Robinson tree, which sucks. Now Tarzan.
Definitely not going now.
Well, they still have the Haunted Mansion. That's a staple. You have a lot of Haunted Mansion tattoos.
Yeah, my whole right arm is, like, Haunted Mansion stuff. But I got it. I hate saying it, but I got it way before, like, people were super into the Haunted Mansion. That's why I stopped working on it.
I got it before. It's cool. I'm just kidding, guys.
Yeah, I did. And then that's why I stopped working on it, because I was like, oh, man, it's, like, not special anymore, even though it is to me. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Ooh, interrupters are on.
Nice. Anyway, what else is planned for the near future? You mentioned a tour.
Big tour coming up.
Yeah, well, we're doing what is it, like, 9 or 10 dates with the Street Dogs, and a couple of those are going to be the 40th anniversary with Fear. And
June 22nd.
Excited about that. That's going to run from Denver and Salt Lake, Phoenix, Tucson, San Diego, Orange County, LA, and San Francisco. So that'll be a fun run. I was a huge Street Dogs fan for years and still am. But
actually, yeah, that was one of the things we were listening to in the van last night.
To be able to play with Mike is going to be really cool.
I saw them at Warped last year, so that was cool. Desert Island album. Rest of your life. Go ahead.
Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
It'd be a tie between like Construction Time Again by Depeche Mode, or even Black Celebration is awesome. Kind of tough question. Yeah, it's not gonna be a drum record. I'll tell you that right now. It's gonna be something with melodies. Yeah. It's about it. Probably like Depeche Mode or like Joy Division or something kind of silly like that, you know.
Mitch Hedberg, Mitch Altogether.
Okay.
I just want to hear comedy. If I'm stranded on an island, I want to laugh. Because we have music in our head, man, all day long.
That's true.
But I don't have any good jokes.
You will, though.
Yeah, with Mitch Hedberg, I will.
Well, thank you. You guys survived, and thank you for your patience. And
thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.